Hey, just a quick word before we really kick into things. This episode is our season one finale. We're going to take a little break to really concentrate on building up our numbers. And you can help us with that. The best thing you could do is just tell a friend about the show. And if you haven't already, like, comment, share, subscribe, write an Apple review. Any kind of engagement is helpful. If you have a great idea for an episode, we'd love to hear about it. If you or someone you know would make a great guest for the show, we'd love to know. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Heck, you can even email us like in the old days at songsoftheweirdpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for your support. We love doing what we do and hope we get to keep on doing it. Without ado, please enjoy the season one finale of Songs of the Weird. Welcome to Songs of the Weird. I'm Bobby Waller. Each episode, I get together with musicians, comedians, or otherwise enlightened beings to eviscerate, investigate, elucidate, and celebrate music that is decidedly off the beaten path. Hey, Alan, how's it going?
Good, Bobby. How are you?
I'm well, and you are looking good on Zoom today.
Oh, thank you. The lighting is not the best, but basically a silhouette.
You do kind of look like you're in witness protection. Alan is of the New York-based band Caterwaul of Sound, and our guest today is also of a New York-based band, 2 Minute Thrills, Cindy Ball.
Hey, how you doing?
And Cindy, since you're the one who picked today's topic, would you tell the nice people at home what we're going to be talking about?
Because I am a professional waitress here in New York City, we're looking at songs about waitressing, waitresses, and the culture of it. It's unusual, I think, for your topics, but I thought it might be fun.
It's perfect for our show.
Oh my goodness, there are so many songs out there about waitresses, and about waitresses in particular, not waiters.
I got hung up on the idea that there is a culture of the beautiful waitress. This woman who takes care of men, brings them beer and doesn't complain, and they fall in love with her.
Yes, and maybe love in quotation marks, because there's a lot to unpack there. Let's do it. Let's get started. Since, Cindy, you just mentioned this concept of the beautiful waitress, the waitress as object of often misbegotten romantic interest, I thought we could start with one of the songs you chose, Alan, the Terry Allen song, which is called
The Beautiful Waitress.
All right, here we go.
Willie, it's not silly when she brings you chili to grab a cracker and distract her with a crunch, a cracker crunch, because you only see her once, only this one time at lunch.
So he's only going to see her once. And in the first verse, he's wondering if he has the courage to crunch loudly to get her attention. And now let's listen to what he wants to do in the second verse.
And it's not rude when she takes away your food to touch her fingers and let them linger while
yeah, it is.
With your loneliness.
But there's like a sadness and a melancholy to it.
So he's getting braver. He's moved up from a loud food noise to considering a lingering touch. And now let's see where he goes in the last verse.
Yes, it's not strange when she brings you change to bend down and kiss her.
Is that really not strange?
Right.
That is totally strange. You know, you can't even do that to a stripper.
Right.
Believe me, I've tried.
much. And she might as well love you too. Why, it's the last time you're passing through.
This is like the last time that he's gonna see her. So he imagines this whole scenario, fantasy that never comes to fruition, that just ends in a kind of a banal conversation about drawing.
She told me she liked art, but that she couldn't draw a straight line. I told her if she could reach for something and pick it up, she could draw a line that was straight enough. She said she wasn't interested in that kind of drawing, but had always liked horses. I said I did too, but they are hard to draw. She said, yes, that was very true. Said she could do the body okay, but never get the head, tail, or legs. I told her she was drawing sausages, not horses. She said, no, they were horses.
By the way, I have to mention my absolute favorite cartoonist is Jim Unger, who has long passed away, and his cartoon was Herman.
Herman,
and he did a lot of waitress interactions, and those are the ones that stood out to me the most. But one of my favorites is this waitress is handing a plate to a customer, and she says, "Don't bother to leave a tip. I had one of your sausages," which is exactly what I thought of the first time I heard that song. When he goes on and says, "That's a sausage, not a horse."
See, I like that cartoon because it's a subversion of power. The waitress is asserting her needs regardless of what the customer wants, whereas I think most of the songs we're looking at, the opposite happens. The male customer is asserting his needs without really even caring what the waitress wants or who she is.
A lot of these waitress songs, there's a similar theme of the waitress as just being anonymous.
Yeah.
Not really a real person, just like a mirror of the person's desire. Like a blank slate.
Right. And for good reasons in some way, because that waitress really is a blank slate to the customer. The customer doesn't know anything about that waitress. And unfortunately, a lot of us, when we are faced with the unknown, we fill in the blanks with what we wish were true. So if she's being nice to me and smiling at me, rather than recognizing that this is just a commercial transaction and it's her job, we draw the conclusion that she must like me.
Well, the problem is you're constantly adapting your personality to what people need. Mm-hmm. So you learn to unconsciously give them what they're looking for because you want to make money. That's what it comes down to. You're there to make money. Mm-hmm. You're putting on a persona for these men to imagine the kind of woman that they want. It's almost like an episode with a sex worker, that sort of like short burst of interaction that is a commercial transaction.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a financial transaction with a woman who's there to give you what you want. And I think, unfortunately, some people sometimes get confused by that and start sexualizing and fantasizing and crunching crackers and touching fingers.
Well, it's interesting because he keeps talking about touching her, which is, from my point of view, is pretty creepy. However, there is, and I've used it, but you have to be, it's very tricky. You have to be very careful. You can touch a guest by putting your hand on their shoulder or, you know, things like that. And that actually increases your tips. It has been a studied fact.
Oh, sure.
Well,
creating that comforting connection causes people to have this positive feedback. And they're like, oh, I'm going to leave an extra couple bucks, you know, because we had this connection.
Sure.
So
I'd be curious, as I look, just a side note, like how waiting and waitressing is different in non-tipping countries, where you're not relying on the kindness of the customer.
Excellent point.
You probably behave very differently, I imagine.
I've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
Right. Awesome. Oh, that's a perfect move on quote. So let's move on. I'll go next. And the first song that I'm bringing to the table is Alan Jackson's I Don't Even Know Her Name.
Well, I was sitting in a roadhouse down on Highway 41. You were wiping off some ketchup on a table that was done. I knew you didn't see me, I was in a corner booth. Of course you weren't my waitress, mine was missing her front tooth. So I flagged you down for coffee, but I couldn't say a thing. But I'm in love with you, baby, and I don't even know your name.
Okay, so another country song, and this one has an official video that corresponds pretty well to the lyrics of the song. And in the first verse of the video, we see the narrator, portrayed by Jeff Foxworthy, is in a restaurant ogling a, quote, beautiful waitress, but it's not his waitress. When we see his waitress, we see that she's got a missing tooth. And we can tell from his comic aversion that her look does not please him.
What a weird video, but I have to mention. It's an audio podcast, but if you get the chance, watch this video. It's very strange and of its time.
Yes, lots of mullets and mustaches. Not to mention an alarming degree of comfort with drunk driving, apparently, because in the second verse of the song, the narrator gets wasted on tequila.
So I ordered straight tequila, a little courage and a shot. I asked you for a date and I asked the pilot not.
And has to be led to his car, presumably, to drive away.
I finally got to hug you when you helped me to my car.
Cut to the last verse. It's now the next day, I guess, because in the video we've shifted from night to day. And Mr. Foxworthy is in a wedding chapel standing at the altar. He lifts the veil, fully expecting to find the beautiful waitress. But guess who he finds instead?
She's the ugly waitress.
Ha! Bet you didn't see that one coming. So this song, I guess, is a lot easier for me than Terry Allen's The Beautiful Waitress.
Oh, I think this is worse. This is so misogynistic to me.
Oh, that's why. That's what I mean. Yeah. Terry Allen's protagonist is hard to come to terms with because he's both creepy and considerate. But this character has none of that complexity. He's just plain misogynistic. He judges women unquestioningly and just assumes that we'll agree with his assessments of who's ugly and therefore laughable.
But there is a blazing guitar solo.
Well, there you go.
The song itself, the musicians are amazing. But yeah, the song is, it's a joke song that's not really funny.
Well, I would agree with that. And I don't mean it in the sense of, you offended my moral sensibilities. I don't think that's funny. I mean it. It's not funny. But far be it from me to poop on other people's misogyny parade. Let's march right along to our next selection. Cindy, what is the first song you've brought to the table for us?
Well, I think it's a good song to follow because it is also very upbeat and joyful sounding, the music. But in this case, also lyrics, and it's Louis Prima's Angelina.
I eat antipasto twice just because she is so nice, Angelina. Angelina, waitress at the pizzeria. I keep soup and minestrone just to be with her alone, Angelina. Angelina, the waitress at the pizzeria.
So fun.
Oh, totally. So I want to ask both of you, what do you think the difference is between this song and the other two songs we've heard? Because this is another song about a dude who is stalking a woman at her place of employment. And yet, I love this song unreservedly, no qualifications. This is just an absolutely joyful song to me.
Well, this is the first waitress with a name.
Good point.
And it's the name of the song, and he says Angelina in pretty much every line. Almost every other song, the waitress is just an anonymous, nameless.
I hadn't thought of that
person. Yeah,
Angelina has a name. Yeah, very good. And also, I just wonder if there's something about humor, because, you know, the Terry Allen song was a little witty, so I cut it some slack. The Alan Jackson song failed to make me laugh, so I cut it no slack. And this song made me laugh out loud. And so I'm like, way to go, Louis Prima, free moral pass.
I love that he wants to impress her by eating everything that she serves.
Yes, yes.
And he wants to spend more time with her, so he's just going to sit there and he's going to eat everything she brings him.
Eat antipasto twice just because she is so nice. Right.
And that's really the only thing he ever says about her. He doesn't objectify her in any way. He just says she's nice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So there's some kind of difference going on here. Right.
But then he'll marry her.
And he's going to marry her. It isn't. That's another difference. It isn't just one time for lunch as it is for Terry Allen. Although, to be honest, in real life, Louis Prima's marriages did not last much longer than a lunch. But separating the art from the artist, this narrator is in it for the long haul. And by the way, I gotta find that line. I just love that the line about getting married. Hold on a second. Let me find it here. It's just so good. All right, here it is.
If she'll be my caramia, then I'll join in matrimony with the girl who serves spumoni, and Angelina will be mine.
If she'll be my caramia, then I'll join in matrimony with the girl who serves spumoni. I just love that.
But, you know, it's interesting, especially in Italian culture, that food is love. Your grandmother's always telling you to eat more. You got to eat more. And she's willing to bring you all this food. And she wants to take care of you. And that is an expression of love. So for Louis Prima, he is saying, I accept all this love that you give me. And I am going to honor it by eating everything you bring.
Right. Yes. Yeah. It's probably the least troubling song of any of them. It's just a fun romp.
Oh, it is very fun. So let's move on to round two. Alan, you were first up. What's your second song?
I chose a Loudon Wainwright song called Tip That Waitress.
She's been on her feet nearly half the damn night, bringing you beverage in your late night bite. She remains cheerful when you're nasty and tight, makes change for a 50 in dim candlelight, ignoring the groping, hoping you might come across with a tip and sympathize with her plight.
I wanted to talk about this song because it's a different perspective of a waitress from the customer's point of view. He's not fantasizing about her or objectifying her, maybe a little bit, but it's mostly humanizing her.
Totally.
Yeah, it's the plight of the waitress. You know, she's on her feet all night. She's bringing in your shit and, you know.
Well, my favorite line is the cook is on Quaaludes and the busboy deals pot.
Right.
Which definitely leads to you have to sympathize with the waitress because everybody else is sound asleep on the job.
Right.
So she is solely doing all the work.
Right. And if anybody's ever worked in a restaurant will tell you that's pretty accurate.
Oh my gosh, there is so much going on behind the scenes in restaurants. That's my memory anyway. Alan, you may remember when we were kids, we worked at the same restaurant in our hometown. And on more than one occasion, we saw staff members draw guns and knives on one another. By the way, often just to become besties again by the end of the shift.
I was going to tell a story. I don't know if it fits or not. I guess
do it. Yeah, yeah,
okay. Yeah. So years ago, back in the ancient times, when I was working in Buffalo, I worked with this man, Sid, who was a chef. And I come in one day late, and I'm never, ever late. And I'm like, Sid, write down the specials on my pad because I got all this setup work to do. So I do all this setup work. I grab my pad. I go out to the first table. And I'm like, you know, good afternoon, everybody. Today's soup is minestrone. The salad we have is caprese. And our special is white cup. And I just about said white cunts on toast. he had written that down.
That is special.
So now I somehow managed to get through the order, and I go running into the kitchen. I pick up a bunch of steak knives, and I'm like, Sid! And he's hysterical laughing behind the line, and I'm throwing the steak knives at him, not in an attempt to spear him, obviously. I'm just like trying to whack him. And he goes running out the back where the dry goods are and the walk-in freezer is. So he runs into the freezer and he shuts the door. So I still have a knife in my hand. So I latch it and I drop a knife in the hook and I walk away. Now I go back in the restaurant and it gets busy and I go in the kitchen and the sous chef's like, where's Sid? And I'm like, oh my God, I left him in the freezer. So I go out to the freezer and I open it very slowly and unlatch it so he knows it's open, and I take off running. Well, he runs after me, knocks me down, and he's like, we're friends. So he's playfully smacking me around, you know, and the owner drives up into the parking lot, sees us, and then just turns and drives away.
I'm like, I don't want to deal with this.
In the meantime, customers can see us, and I'm getting the shit kicked out of me. You know? So.
That's a great story.
Oh, nice.
Kind of brilliant, really. Yeah.
Oh, man. Back to the song. I guess I picked it because it portrays the waitress as almost a heroic character. You know, she's trying to get her master's degree.
Yeah.
You know, her dad was in Nam. Her brother's a Quaker. I'm not really sure.
Oh, right. That was weird. Right. That is my favorite verse because it is so hard to write something that is humorous but not jerky. So why don't we give that verse a little listen?
She's getting her master's, supporting her mom. Amidst the confusion, she remains cool and calm. She knows exits in case of a fire or a bomb. She knows all the words to the 23rd Psalm. She handles her tray with panache and aplomb. Her brother's a Quaker. Her dad was in Nam.
Tip that waitress. It's just so well written. And I think what makes it especially so well written is because he's making a serious point, which is she's a human being. She's
right.
She's smart. She's getting her master's degree. She's got a family. Her dad was a Nam. Like, this is a human being in front of you.
But the second to the last verse is very strange because it kind of like breaks the fourth wall a little bit. Here's the verse.
This plea for gratuity's gone all the way too long. There's a time and a place there and then things belong. A stage in a soapbox, this is only a song. To dwell on the matter much more would be wrong. And people get by, she'll get along. But I think she gets off when I come on. Strong. So tip that waitress.
But I think she gets off when I come on strong.
Yeah, that is
what is that? What
that's
is that
the line that threw me off. Because like the rest of it is be decent, be nice. And then he's like, but I think she kind of likes it when I come on strong.
Yeah.
Like, man, I was totally with it up to now.
Right. But in complete honesty, who among us has not had that feeling at least once where someone is waiting on you, bartender, waiter, whoever, and you feel like just for a fleeting second, oh, she might like me.
Oh, even I do it. I'm in the business.
Everybody does it. Yes.
I've done it. I think that's why I was interested in this topic, because on the one hand, it just seems so creepy. Like, come on. This is a transaction. Get real. Right. On the other hand, I've had that feeling. Like,
it's very human. Yeah.
Yeah. There was something in that smile she gave me. I think there's something there. I've done it.
I'll tell you what, from my point of view, too, as a waitress, I have literally looked at a male guest and gone, let's have a little interaction. And then wondering if maybe, you know, he wants to hang out sometime.
Oh, interesting. So, to flip it around. Yeah.
So I'm like, let me make him laugh. Let me make him comfortable. Mm-hmm. Let me touch his shoulder. So,
yeah.
And then he tips me and leaves. And I'm like, wait, didn't you leave your number?
So it can go both ways.
Yeah.
Totally.
Good to remember as we move on to the next song. The next song that I have chosen is Invitation to the Blues by Tom Waits.
Well, this is over, gets registered. Neighbor and a spatula. yesterday's deliveries, tickets for the bachelor. She's a moving violation from a conk down to a shoes. But it's just an invitation to the blues.
So the setup is fairly standard. You got a male voyeur ogling a strange woman at her place of employment. But by the end of the first verse, we can hear that this is going in a different direction. Most of the male narrators that we're hearing from in this show kind of mindlessly idealize the waitress that they're ogling. But this narrator isn't naive. At the end of the first verse, he says, she's a moving violation from her conk down to her shoes, but it's just an invitation to the blues. Such good songwriting. It's so visual.
This song is very cinematic. It's like a noir film in like 3.5 minutes.
Yes. In fact, sometimes the cinematic allusions are overt, like when he refers to Cagney and Hayworth.
And you feel just like Cagney. She looks like Rita Hayworth. The counter of the Schwab's drugstore.
Such vivid, classic Americana imagery. But always with an eye for the darker side of things and for hardship, as in the middle of the song where the narrator imagines this waitress's probably sordid past.
But she used to have a sugar daddy and a candy apple caddy, a bank account and everything, accustomed to the finer things. He probably lived for a socialite, and he didn't love except at night. And then he's drunk and never even told her that he cared.
Oh, that line gets me every time. He didn't love her except at night, and then he was drunk and never even told her that he cared. My heart just breaks in that moment.
There's also a line, a battle with the booze, but it's right. Not specific to her or her ex-boyfriend, or maybe both of them. And there is a high incidence of alcoholism in the restaurant industry.
It's absolutely.
It has to do with stress a lot, but it also has to do with just plain availability. Availability.
Yeah, that's the elephant in the room. Like drugs and alcohol in the restaurant industry is rampant.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't sugarcoat anything, and I think that's what makes this song what it is. Most of the other narrators that we're looking at have this completely unwarranted fantasy that once he hooks up with this waitress, his life's going to be a nonstop happy fuckfest. But this narrator has no such delusions. He knows there will be hardships, but at least he'll have a commiserator. And so at the end of the song, when he has to decide whether or not he's going to leave, he chooses to stay.
Give me a room at the Squire, the filling station's hiring. Now I can eat here every night. What the hell have I got to lose? Got a crazy sensation. Go stay, and I gotta choose. Not accept your invitation to the blues.
Mm. He's a great writer.
He is.
There's an interesting theme in so far many of these songs that waitressing is something that women end up at when they're down on their luck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like in his narrative, she was with a man who gave her the Cadillac and so forth and so on. And now she's down on her luck and now she has the blues and now she's inviting him. And It's interesting too, because I've heard this twice. Once as I was approaching the table, another time when I was literally putting the drinks down, the mother says to the son, "You don't want to end up like her."
No.
Wow. Oh, cold. My God.
Cold.
Wow.
Not a thought that maybe this is a calculated career choice. I enjoy doing this. This is my choice.
That's another theme to all these songs, is waitressing as a last resort or a placeholder while you accomplish something else to get a real career.
Yeah, that's definitely a theme we're hearing. Which I'm glad you brought it up, because Cindy, your next selection actually does treat waitressing as a real career, which I think would be a nice change of pace. Would you tell us a little bit about it?
It's Rita Moreno. It's called It's an Art. And it's interesting because the culture of waiting tables, whether you're male or female, is that it is an art. If you care, and I'm a person who cares, so I found it an entertaining song.
It's an art to be a fine waitress, to see that you pleasure each guest. There's a twist to my wrist if I let a fork drop, or cut up a pork chop, or serve a New York chop. It all needs to be stylish and smart. That's what makes it an art.
Finally, a waitress who's proud of what she does. Where did you find this?
It was from a musical called Working. There's lots of versions on YouTube that you can look at. I like the staged one, Rita Moreno, where the camera follows her around. And as she's singing the song, she's walking around with trays and greeting guests and so forth and so on.
And doing it her own way, too.
Here's your steak, m'lady. I like to say m'lady. I hate ma'am. And sometimes I will say playfully to the man, your check, my lord.
Well, let's see now. How much should we tip you?
Well, do what you want. Don't play God with me.
Okay, so I like how she's kind of saying, hey, don't lord your tip over me. That's pretty consistent with the overall message of, you know, I'm strong, I'm independent, I'm proud. But I wonder if it goes a little too far in the next few lines, because then it says, tips are important for captains and barmen.
What does that mean? What is captain?
Like, isn't a maitre d' sometimes called a captain?
Yes, absolutely. Right.
Okay.
Oh, so tip, I did not know that. Okay.
Tips are important for captains and barmen. So men.
For them, it's says, a tip, see? For yeah. me, I'm a gypsy.
Yeah. And she says, just toss me a coin and I suddenly feel like Carmen. If I had to guess, and we know that it was, I would guess that this was written by a man.
Yes.
For yeah. sure. For sure.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're in it for the money. We're definitely in it for the money. So that little bit was problematic too. I'm like, no, yeah. It's not even remotely so.
Yeah, right. Right. I like the reference to Carmen though.
Yeah, there's some part she hums a bit of Swan Lake. Like when she says,
does she?
You carry your tray like it's almost ballet like.
You give them what they like. You carry your tray like it's almost ballet like. It's an art.
And then she sings like a little bit of a theme from Madame Butterfly, where she mentions doing it over and over again until it's near oriental.
Serve a demi-tasse with a gesture so gentle, or do it again till it's near oriental. La, 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 la.
It's Whoa. I don't know how, but I never noticed any of those operatic references.
But it still goes back to what I was saying earlier, is you are literally on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So my whole life, I've been practicing to be in a band by being these little vignettes of dealing with various people.
Oh, yes. This is a well-crafted song too, isn't it? The deeper we look into this, the more I like it.
Maybe I'm not quite Michelangelo.
And I'm back for my
but I'm not just a waitress. I'm a wanderer.
Yes, I am such a sucker for show tunes. And with that grand finale, we are moving on to round three. Alan, you're up next. What's the last song you have brought to the table for us?
I picked a Belle and Sebastian song called Dear Catastrophe Waitress.
Dear Catastrophe Waitress, Dear Catastrophe Waitress, I'm sorry if you seem to have the weight of the world over you. I cherish your smile. There's a word of peace on your lips. Say it, and with tenderness I'll cherish you.
song really grabbed me right away. I mean, first, I love the uber pop production. So it's almost like this 60s pop psychedelia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the song itself is very unsettling, especially the second verse.
I'm sorry if he hit you with a full can of coke. It's no joke. Your face is bleeding. You'll soon be leaving this town.
And it's I'm sorry if he hit you with a full can of coke. It's no joke. Your face is bleeding. You'll soon be leaving this town to the clowns who worship no one but themselves.
Yeah.
Well, it furthers the down on her luck waitress trope. Yeah. You know, you got yourself into this. You're uneducated. You're poor. You're lower class. You got yourself into this position where your kids don't like you and you're significant other or a customer for that matter threw a can of coke at you and your face is bleeding.
Right. But I think it ends on a hopeful note.
Stick to what you know. You blow them all to the wall when they realize what you've been working for.
You'll blow them all to the wall or something like that. When they realize what you've been working for, you've been working for, you've been working for. Again, it's like waitressing as a placeholder while you improve yourself and you'll show those louts that you're better than them. I guess. I don't know. This what do you
or
think
or about? That you'll pull out a gun and kill them all.
Oh.
That's a possibility.
That could be, yeah. Like what I've been planning.
Yeah.
My plans are coming to fruition.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but that thought did cross my mind.
Oh yeah, okay. I didn't think of that.
Often the sign of a good song is room for interpretation, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right, we decided to change it up for round three. And Cindy, you're next. What's the last song you've brought to us?
Well, this is a repulsive song. I mean, we were talking about songs that were unsettling or unpleasant, but this one is absolutely full-out repulsive, and it is called Waitress by Kinky Friedman. And it's interesting, in the 90s, they were trying desperately to ungenderize the term waitress. So it was Waitron was something that was proposed.
I remember Waitron, yeah.
Waitron, really?
But that sounds very robotic.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I am your Waitron.
So this is Waitress ending in a T by Kinky Friedman.
Well, I pulled in the Dallas on a cold December day.
In case you couldn't make that out, he said Dalit instead of Dallas. That's significant.
Spied me a pretty young waitress standing by a tray. But you couldn't believe her sweet young ears when the waitress heard me say, oh, waitress, please waitress, come sit on my face. Eating ain't cheap, Lord, it ain't no disgrace. Whoa, bring me a Lone Star, make it a case. And waitress, please waitress, come sit on my fate.
Like I said, this song is absolutely repulsive.
I was more confused by this song than anything. Like, his intentional misspellings and mispronunciations of Dallas and Austin, is that his, like, way of saying waitress is dumb? So, like, I don't know.
I took it as his way of saying, well, if I say Dalit, ending in a T instead of an S sound, and waitress ending in a T sound instead of an S sound, then when I say sit on my fate, ending in a T sound, you'd know what I'm really saying.
This
song ain't that clever. I think the whole song was written around one bad joke.
Yeah.
Which isn't really funny and doesn't really make sense.
No, it's not funny. And not only because it's a failed joke, but also because in real life, real waitresses really do have to deal with this kind of blunt, artless sexual harassment.
This one time I was waiting on a guest, and these types of situations happen all the time, but one that stands out to me was this guy says, I'll have a Captain and Coke and a blowjob. I'm like, well, I hope you enjoyed saying that because you're not getting a drink. Right. And the sad thing was he was with a major company celebrating his promotion. And part of me just wanted to go, by the way, tip, do you know what your friend just said that you just promoted? You know, oh. I kind of wanted to blow him up.
Can you name that company for us? I'm just kidding. Don't.
I can, but
we won't air it.
No, we'll boycott them.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow. I've heard some horror. Yeah, I've heard some horrible things.
Had some terrible, terrible stories. I have some terrible stories of men who take it too far, you know, sometimes men do, because some men suck. Not all men. I like you guys.
Well, thank you.
No, but we
suck sometimes.
I think that's the kind of the idea behind this episode is like, what the fuck, guys? Seriously, get fucking real. This is a transaction. The tip does matter.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
We need to do a follow-up episode of waiter songs. But I doubt there are any.
You know, in the process of researching for this episode, I was like, maybe I'm making too much of this. Maybe I should look at waiter songs.
Mm-hmm.
There are some, but not a ton.
Yeah.
Not a ton.
And they're I'm guessing thematically, they're very different.
Yeah.
I would imagine so. But I heard this story the other day from a friend of mine who said that his friend was a waitress and somebody, instead of writing a tip on the tip line of the credit card, he left his phone number. So she shared it on Facebook openly. It went viral. And now all these people are texting him all kinds of obnoxious things.
See, what I would have done instead of like the dashes between numbers, I would have put commas and then a period and two zeros after it for the tip.
Turning the phone number into a tip amount.
Oh, nice. You can come to mine. Yeah. Alan, awesome. If you're in the neighborhood of Times Square, definitely stop by.
I try not to be in the neighborhood of Times Square. Thank you very much.
I don't know why.
You're the only reason I would go there.
All right. Moving right along. Our last song, and I hope you both will forgive me. We kind of have to look at two songs, because the song that really caught my attention is a response to an earlier song.
I love response songs.
Oh yeah. So the feature song is called "The Waitress Song" by an Australian group called Code of Conduct. We'll hear that in a moment, but I want to start with the song it is responding to, and it is responding to another song called "The Waitress Song," which is by Seth Sentry. So let's listen to a little bit of that.
And there's a place I go for breakfast every afternoon. The coffee's rubbish and the bacon's always hard to chew, and the toast is always soggy, but I hardly notice. And the food takes such a long time to get made, even when I'm the only person in the cafe. And my table's always wobbly, but I hardly notice.
All right, so Seth says he goes to this place in the afternoons for breakfast and kind of gives the impression that it's sort of beneath him, but he goes there because of the hot waitress.
Right, everything else sucks about it, yeah.
Yeah, the table's wobbly, mm-hmm. The toast is soggy and flaccid, the coffee sucks. There's just so much he dislikes about it.
Yeah, he's just a guy who just bitches about everything.
He's bitching about everything, but to me there's this feeling of like, but aren't I cool for condescending to a place like right. this? So that is Seth Sentry's song, "The Waitress Song." And a response to that song was written by Sally Coleman and Erica Mallett, who are part of Triple J, which is a morning show, DJ show. So picking a song about breakfast was just right for them to write a spoof. And their response goes like this.
Well, I'm a waitress at a place that's open afternoons. And once I loved it, now I'm hating on this asshole dude. Never speaks, just seems to watch me. So I gave my notice. He's so rude, makes a mess and takes the best space. Pretty soon he's the only person in the cafe. Stays the table with his coffee. So I gave my notice. Yo.
I really loved this song. And I accidentally, when I was just looking for waitress songs on YouTube, I accidentally heard these two songs in the correct order. I heard the Seth Sentry song. Like, yeah, okay, whatever. Another song about falling in love with a waitress. And then... I guess probably YouTube served me up Code of Conduct probably right after that, which makes sense. And I listen, I'm like, oh my God, this is brilliant. Because every complaint he has about the restaurant
you can hear in the Code of Conduct song that we're doing that because he's an asshole.
We're trying to get him to leave.
Yeah. So he complains about soggy toast. And in their video, they show Erica spraying his toast with water to make it soggy. Right.
He complains that the table is wobbly, but in the Code of Conduct video, we found out that Erica purposefully sawed the legs to make it wobbly.
I just think he's a jerk, but at least I nicked a hacksaw to make his table tip back and forth. It's
fine. Well, you know, it's more than just sawing the table and giving him soggy toast. I mean, they deliberately cultivate green, moldy bacon.
He don't seem fazed that the bacon is weak sold. I spent 3 days cultivating that green mold.
That's how much they hate him.
This point. Right.
That's how much they hate him.
Oh, and in his song, do you remember this? In his song, he complains that if his cup is dirty, she'll just clean it with her shirt.
And if the cup is dirty, she just cleans it with her shirt.
But in the Code of Conduct video, we find out what's really going on there.
Trash coat my clothes in mud and dirt, so if his cup is clean, I can smudge it with my shirt.
They have a cup of dirt on the shelf. And whenever he comes in, she wipes it on her shirt so that when she's cleaning his coffee cup, she's actually putting dirt in his coffee.
I didn't catch that. That's brilliant.
I love it. So, all right, ending with the waitress's perspective, I have to ask you, Cindy, do you ever have fantasies like that?
Oh, duh. My God. Yes.
Yes.
But I have never done anything deliberately to anybody's food or drink, although trust me, it has crossed my mind. I just can't bring myself to do it. But back in the day, there was a man who came in that everybody hated. He ordered the hot dog one day. So the grill guy took the hot dog off, rolled it around the floor, and then put it back on the grill. And we all kind of felt like
I've seen things. Yeah.
Like I wouldn't have done that myself, but it's been done. Oh, well.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I've never done that. But when I was working as a bartender, there were moments where I would just look around. I'm like, I want to kill everybody in this room. Uh-huh. But I wouldn't. Oh, I would not do that because it's bad for tips.
Thank you.
For tips.
Killing everybody is bad for tips.
But that's kind of when I realized that I'm like, I need to get out of the service industry when I start having violent fantasies about my customers.
Well, it's got, you know, the whole setup is very strange. I always think Leonard Cohen has a sign in one of his songs about the homicidal bitchin' that goes down in every kitchen. To determine who will serve and who will eat. And there's this whole kind of like dynamic that is going on that I think is confusing for some people. And they feel like they can take advantage of that.
Right.
And don't really get what, you know, this is somebody who's doing their job. And doing a pretty good job.
There's a whole Freudian aspect of the first person who gives you food and nourishment is your mother.
And, Wow.
Not to go there. But.
Yeah. Thanks for adding a new level of creepiness to this already really creepy episode. But a great episode it has been. And Cindy, I want to thank you so much for being on this show today.
Yes. Thanks, Cindy.
You're welcome. It was fun.
You brought an incredible perspective. Thank you.
Sure. Absolutely.
And you also brought a killer song by your band that we can use as our send-off music. So thank you for that. And without ado, you have been listening to Songs of the Weird. I'm Bobby Waller with Alan Partlow and special guest Cindy Ball. This is Hot in Here by 2 Minute Thrill. We'll be right back.
That's it. That's our season one finale. I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed making it. We're taking a little time off to build up our numbers, and we'll be back before long. Remember to like, comment, share, subscribe, write an Apple review, get engaged, tell us your ideas. We'd love to hear from you.